Greetings, everyone. So good to see everybody tonight. Open your Bibles again to Proverbs chapter 3. Be sure to take out your outline. I have them outlined in the back on the chair for your use. And so if nothing else, you can have the verse list already there for you. And Proverbs chapter 3. I have been looking forward to preaching this message for well over 30 years. You'll understand in a moment when I get into the introduction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you again for your amazing grace in our lives. The hymns, the songs we sang tonight are a testimony and a testament to our love and appreciation for you and all that you've done and all that you are. And Father, help us to always govern and regulate our lives based on what you say, not what we think and what it seems to be the best course of action to take, but to what you say. We pray that you would challenges by the phraseology you have used throughout this particular book in Proverbs. You've made it abundantly clear what is more important than what man thinks and what the world says. The world's value system is twisted and distorted. They have twisted the purpose of our existence here. And we are thankful and grateful that we have Bibles in our hands and our laps, and we can go to your word, and you can guide us and which route is the high ground, which route is the best way to go for our good and your glory. We are so grateful not only for our salvation, for the perfect guiding light in your word that strengthens us and guides us. Lord, anyone here that doesn't regularly, faithfully read with understanding and application your word, oh Lord, work on them. Help them to realize they are to their own peril and to the fact that they cannot, of their own initiative and instinct, do that which is right apart from your guiding light and empowering spirit. The Lord help us tonight as we look at these things again in Proverbs. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the text, by way of introduction, how many times have we asked the question, which is better? Or so-and-so is better than? Or is it more important than? We have always done that. We do it all the time. The debate never ends when people debate and argue and discuss these type of questions. Usually, the one who wins is the one with the most persuasive or sometimes the most passionate about their arguments. Or it may be the person who marshals in the most compelling data, who seem to line up and they seem to be the most compelling at the moment. There are many good debaters who are wrong on their position. And you have to be careful of that. False teachers are masters at using great swelling words to deceive people. Sometimes the person who wins the argument is the one who brings the one who is the most authoritative on the subject. What about when the discussion is turned away from sports and movies and entertainment and type of items and stuff to what life is about and how we should live? Everyone in this world, whether they have pondered much on it or not, has an opinion how one should live. On that topic, or any topic for that matter, who better to go to for the final answer or verdict than God Himself? Who's going to argue with Him when He comes on into the discussion? We all know, discussion over. Final say, final authority. And we have to understand that God has spoken clearly on multiple subjects and how to live and how to govern our lives. Not only has He spoken, He has been very clear when comparing ideas and way of life and the priority that we need to give to certain things in our life. And yet too often we dismiss Him. Why dismiss the most authoritative person when He has spoken on the subject? In Proverbs, He did this very thing by using phrases such as better than, which would use 20 times, more than, 8 times, how much more or how much better is, 5 times, or rather than, it better to have this, rather than 4 times. So that cumulative number on those particular topics are very compelling. And yet, when you look at them, what is He saying? These are terms of priority and value and what is the most important. If you're going to take either this or that, you better take the one He said it is better than that. Here God is comparing things that we may instinctively or intuitively think the opposite. Or a lot of times we don't even ask the question, I wonder what God says about this. And yet, because we don't read His word, we don't attend the means of grace, we don't fill our mind with the will of God and the knowledge of God and come to know the God of the Bible who speaks authoritative, and at the end of the day, we all give an account to Him. So He had not left us in the dark. God, using the phrase better than, is exhorting you and I to choose the highest and the best for our spiritual good in this life for His glory. With that in mind, point number one. Now, again, the lid, void lid. Again, my disclaimer tonight, you're not going to hear anything you haven't already heard already in this series. Because the Bible constantly comes back and cycles through because we're forgetful. But I think it's very compelling. When I caught through my years of reading Proverbs of the day, every day for a month, 12 times a year, for many years, all of a sudden that better than jumped out. He is making comparison that when we would normally defer to the one, that is the less than. And so I want to use these things, these phrases that He has used. And in summary, it's almost like a repeat from this morning, but I want to use not the term blessed, the end result, the fruit, consequences when you follow this path. I want to talk about it from the front end when you're deciding, or when you're prioritizing, or when things get messed up in your Christian life, one of the fundamental things you need to do is go back to basics. Like anything else in life, go back to the basics. And this is basic, better than this. And a lot of times we got our priorities out of whack. Maybe, I don't want to use the word accidentally, but just like He spoke to the church in Revelation, you have left your first love. You allowed your heart to get cold toward the Lord. And what was His answer? Return and do the first thing. Back to the basics. That's what we're doing tonight. Point number one, wisdom is better than anything. Have you heard that one before? Of course you have throughout Proverbs. That's why you are now in Proverbs chapter 3. Your outline said verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. Happy is the man who find wisdom. Now, we talked about that this morning. Happy, blessed, okay? We're going to follow through how he uses it in the way of prioritizing. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, her wisdom and understanding are better than the profits of silver and gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Clearly what we see here is God making it clear, and yet when you look at man and you ask man, what is the most important thing you should do? Get a good living. Make a good job. Get a good job and make a lot of money. No, God is saying seek wisdom. The others will follow. The other will come because wisdom will take you on the best course to do that, but keep you grounded and centered in God himself and keep you focused on why you're here. It's not about getting all kinds of stuff. We learned last week that your life does not consist of the abundance of the things you have in this life. Even in the next verse that on that list is Proverbs 8:11. It said this, for wisdom is better than rubies. At that time, rubies was considered the most precious gem. We might replace it with other gems of our own liking, but diamonds would certainly be up there at the top. But the point is, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Well, first of all, let's look at the better than aspect. Better than silver and gold, and more precious than rubies. These are comparative things. So what do you put your energy to? Are you trying to do everything in your power to gain wisdom and seek wisdom and grow in wisdom, which is always grounded and rooted in the fear of the Lord and the understanding of the knowledge, the Holy One? Proverbs 8, 10, 11 said this, receive my instruction. And the word instruction there is the word correction. Don't forget that. Some translation uses the word my discipline, another way of saying chastening. And let's remember, when God chastens his own, it's not punitive, it's corrective. He is trying to correct you from not doing something to start doing what you ought to do. So he's saying this, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. 8:19. My fruit, wisdom, is better than gold, yet than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Man, I like that to go on. You know, before the people that like to sell their silver and gold and precious metals, they need to have that verse at the front end of their advertising. I wonder how well it would go. People thought maybe, well, we know they wouldn't start buying Bibles. They keep buying their gold because they're going to trust and they're rich, richer than wealth. How much better to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Those were precious metals in those days. That was the currency. You didn't have, so to speak, coins. You had precious metal. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 28. Anybody who knows their Bible and knows Job, Job 28 is the wisdom chapter. But in here, he does, in this point, talking about regarding comparing wisdom with silver, gold, and precious gem. For those taking note, Job 28, verses 13 through 19. Listen to these things. Job himself is speaking. Man does not know its value, verse 13, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it is not in me. The sea says it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. I cannot It cannot be valued in the gold of ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of the coral or the quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. And the topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Clearly, over and over in so many different ways, Job, there's nothing to be compared to it. And yet, what did man given over to but greed and covetousness, and who envies people who have what they don't have, rather than seeking wisdom and seeking wisdom that comes from God? Psalm 119:72 says it this way: the law of your mouth is better to me than the thousand of coins of gold and silver. Psalm 119:127, therefore I love your commandment more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Can we say that? Do we believe that? Do we regulate and govern our lives according to those principles? We ask God, what is better, money or wisdom? He has answered, wisdom. And all you're getting, get it. Go for it, go after it, seek it. Seek it until you find it. When you find it, retain her. But there's something else that he says that I think pushes it over the edge. He used terms more than and better than. Again, if we went back to our passage in Proverbs chapter 3, or you can look in your verse list. He says this. Verse 15. She is more precious than ruby in the last part. And all the things you may desire cannot be compared with her. Again, also in 8:11, the last part of verse. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. If not only did he say, this is better than that, wisdom is better than these things, money, wealth, gold, silver, precious stones. He is saying, and whatever you desire, nothing shall be compared to her. Nothing. She always wins the day. She always gets our heart. She always gets our attention and our energy and our pursuit. The idea here that if better than and more than comparisons are not enough, God went one step farther by simply saying, anything you can desire. Let's say you don't desire money. Maybe you desire popularity, power, influence, comfort. Fill out in the blank of anything, whether it's wholesome or sin. Nothing compared to wisdom. To her. It would like saying, don't put wisdom with anything else. Wisdom in there is in her own league. I got it here. It said, don't put it in the same league, category, and classification as wisdom. Whatever you desire doesn't compare to her. Nothing. She is the top and no one comes close. But do we prioritize her life? What do we do when decisions come? Is that not how we're supposed to also see the Lord? Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. That should be the heartbeat of every child of God. Who do I have but you in heaven? I'm not going to heaven to see anything or visit anybody but you. You are my all in all. You are my everything. And we need to get to that place. Here lies the psalmist speak to the fact that this is an incredible depth of relationship that the psalmist had with God. So what is true about God, and let me give you some verses, and what triggered it, my thinking in this particular point is the verse we used in Sunday school this morning, found from Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. What are you going to compare me with? Who in the world come close? With our God, no one, nothing. Here's the more that Isaiah said. Isaiah 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Isaiah 40, verse 18. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? In other words, take anything. Does anything compare to me? The Lord is saying. Nothing. I did that and I went that line of reading for this reason. Just like God cannot be compared to anything, same goes for his wisdom and his knowledge. If he is the greatest, then what he had to say is the greatest. Nothing should be compared. So when you go through Proverbs and when you read your Proverbs, whether you take up what I did for years, Proverbs of the day, today is the 12th, so 12th chapter of Proverbs. Second thing I saw from the list, nothing new to you, it better is a little with integrity than, 15 verse 16 says it, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 28 verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who perverts in his ways, though he be rich. Sometimes people say, hey, I don't care what I live. I don't care if I don't have any friends. I don't care if my family don't love me. I got money. You are a poor person when you have that mentality. You are missing. You are lonely and you know it. You're just in denial. Money won't hug you. Money won't love you. Money won't do anything like that. And yet, here we see it speak to the fact that here we are instructed that our energies need to be focused on our character and not the pursuit of money and wealth. Our character, work on it. And a lot of times we will compromise our character and our integrity for money, for wealth, to get ahead. A lot of times people see opportunities which, when you use principles of integrity, are not opportunities to be taken advantage of, but to refrain from. We need to be aware of that, and God is very much aware of that, and he is commanding and commissioning and instructing us to do just that. It is better to be have, again, little, with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is the dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. The comparison is you got a dinner of herbs because you can't afford meat versus the fatted calf where you got the best cut. And yet the difference, love, hatred. Love, contention. Unity, love, and fellowship, and communion, and wonderful sweetness that should be part of around the table, versus people who can't stand being together around the table because, yeah, they got the best bread you could possibly get, but hatred is there. No love is there. Why? Because you didn't build a relationship because you were going out after trying to make the money that provided that fatted calf. As opposed to doing the best you can with what you had, keeping your integrity intact and your love intact and your compassion intact, you choose to take the route of greed, covetousness, or even pride when you can't admit when you're wrong, because that's also an integrity issue. Proverbs 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. little with righteousness, living a life of godliness and doing the right thing, though you don't get ahead quickly, fast, or exponentially, as opposed to somebody who will do misjustice and injustice to gain extra bribe. Proverbs 16:19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 21:3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, we're not talking about making sacrifices. We're talking about doing a sacrifice in the Old Testament context of the sacrificial system, which was akin to worship. God is simply saying, when you live a life that is contrary to the laws of God, and yet you still go through the motions of doing your religious service and sacrifices, God said, I rather you do righteousness and justice than simply come here playing the role of a hypocrite of doing sacrifices only to walk away to do just the opposite of who I am. The Bible is replete with that concept. For example, 1 Samuel 15:22. We all know this one. This is when King Saul thought it was better to, rather than wait to do it the way God had ordained it through the priest to do a sacrifice, he thought he'd go ahead and do it. And Samuel finally showed up and he confronted him with these words, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of ram. How many times maybe some of you here are doing your religious service, but out there you are not a person of integrity and righteousness and godliness. You are betraying your calling. You are betraying the Lord. Even when you get to Isaiah, especially Isaiah. Whoa. Isaiah chapter 1, for those taking note, verses 11 through 17. Listen to this. I mean, Isaiah can't even get out of chapter 1 without dealing with this issue of the religious hypocrisy. Oh yeah, they made sure they dot the I and cross the T in all of their religious services. But it said this, verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Oh, clearly, they were sacrifices to the Lord. Said the Lord, I have had enough of burnt offering to rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my court. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths and the callings of assembly. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me and I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you even though you make many prayers. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Make no mistake. He is hating the very thing he had commanded and ordained them to do, and yet they're doing it without their heart, without sincerity, and without genuineness. They're going through the motions only to leave and do their thing. Then he ends up by saying this. Here's how you fix it and correct this. Verse 16. Wash yourself and make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes and cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Live a life of integrity and justice. So those who are being taken advantage of, you need to protect. Such as the fatherless and the widows. Every generation has had oppressors. You're either stopping them by resisting them in their oppression, or you're letting it happen and being complicit. One of the minor prophets said this, Hosea 6:6, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Now, he's not saying, okay, don't do sacrifice, let's do mercy instead. He wants both. He wants what he had commanded, but he wants it to be people of compassion and mercy. Let me finish the verse. "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." Here you got people making offerings and sacrifices to God and not knowing the God they're doing it for. They don't know him. They didn't know what to do. One of my favorite is Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offering and with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Verse 8, "And he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Listen to these words. "But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Not about religious service, not about your attendance at church, your faithfulness of daily reading your Bible. Often it has been said that God's not concerned with how many times you read the Bible through. He wants to know how the Bible is working through you. Is it in you? Is it working through you effectually? I shared that verse this morning in Thessalonians where they treated it as the word of God, not as the words of men. And because of that, it was effectual to them who believed. They took it seriously as God's word and lived accordingly. And that empowered them to be what God commanded them to do. Bring it to the final verse before I move on to the next point. Proverbs 28, verse 6, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one pervert in his ways, though he be rich." Again, kind of a reenumeration, restatement of the of verses that have gone before us. Point number 3. Better to build relationship than, in the verse that I use, I thought it was puzzling, but the more I pondered these various portions was, I felt it was due to dealing with people and relationship. God values relationship. That's why he always stressed the importance of fellowship in the church body. But Proverbs 16:32 said it this way, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Or here's another one, Proverbs 17:1. "Better is a dry mortal with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife." And you'll find constantly around that theme of better than, more than, about developing and building and strengthening relationships in the way that God had outlined and ordained. And one of the most debilitating things that put the strain and it very destructive to any relationship, doesn't matter where it's at, family, mom and dad, children, siblings, cousins, relatives, neighbors, co-workers, husband, wife, you know, is anger. Anger is a terrible monster that hurts relationship. Whether you have the outburst of a person who just explodes, or if you're a passive aggressive that does a kind of a behind the scene, constantly adding your anger by dripping poison and toxic stuff any opportunity you get. In either case, you need to cease from anger. Anger is destructive to any relationship. Anger is nothing more than you trying to insert yourself forcefully to somebody to turn or bend to your way of thinking. And a lot of people who get that, when they handle and solve their problems with anger, it's because they won't humble themselves to do it God's way. That takes work. You mean I got to be patient? Yeah. You can't make anybody change because of your anger. It won't happen. All you're going to do is instill bitterness and estrangement. That's why a lot of the verses that talked about it's better to be in a corner of a house than to be with the person who had the contentious woman in the house. Why? The idea is to get separated so you're not constantly fighting. Separation is pretty hard to have an argument and fight and anger to flare up when you are away. Same true with other relationships. Sometimes you can't help it. Maybe you have an angry coworker. Well, in that case, you need to pray for two things. You pray for them, and you pray for yourself, that you don't become like them, and that you bear the fruit of patience and long-suffering. Understand, and I got news for you. There is nothing in your life, no matter how long you have to put up with it, that God didn't have to do exponentially more for us in being patient with us. Anger stirs up strife and damages relationships. Here, Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath had great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Again, that's the person who blows up. But never rule out the damage that a passive aggressive can do. If you haven't understood that and understand that, you need to study that, because that is a nasty and gnarly anger. And it goes, this is what that passive aggressive is, the kind of anger that the Hatfield McCoys had. It lapped a generation. You heard people who hold grudges? That's the path of aggressive. They never let it go. They can't. Their identity is to be right, even though they may be wrong. And they're willing to push any relationship out of the way as long as they're right, instead of realizing that they could be wrong and to restore relationship that God intended to be good and healthy and strong and robust. Not in strain, not bitterness, not... You know the Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirred up strife, but he who is slow of anger allied contention. 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 16:11. I love this. It is an encouraging verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him. You have an enemy? Then walk with the Lord in such a way that they, even your enemy, can be at peace with you. Why? Because you live a life in integrity. You're not constantly poking him in the eye and provoking that enemy. You're loving that enemy. You're doing good to that enemy. You're praying for that enemy. You're asking God's blessing upon that enemy. Am I doing nothing but reading to you Matthew 5:44? which in my mind is one of the hardest verses in all of Scripture to live, when you have somebody who has hurt you profoundly. I've touched on this, I'll say it again because it's in a different context. 15:17, better at the dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Why would you have hatred? That's around a dinner. Supposed to be a good time. A time of sweetness and fellowship and getting along and enjoying each other's company. But when you have hatred there, it is nothing but a plate of strife and judgment and criticalness, and it's just like, I don't have the signs behind me, but I can't imagine that's good for the digestive system to eat with that kind of knot in your stomach. Psalm 37, verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. So there you have, I've been waiting 30 years to share that. Better than, more than. God said it. Final answer, final authority. He wins, he trumped all other authority. Doesn't matter how persuasive, passionate information you can bring. When God said it, if you go in against it, you're wrong. We need to now align our lives accordingly. That's the key. Again, the points are almost verbatim to this morning, but a different angle because he's doing it in so many different angles for us to get it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Help us to live accordingly. Help us to live lives that are genuine and sincere and that brings honor and glory to your glorious and precious name. May we truly seek to honor you. May these words better than and more than have priority in our thinking, in our lives. Oh Lord, work on the hearts of your young ones here. May they, as they plan and chart and prepare their life, they put these principles in place so they can have it for the rest of their life. And we will see you blessing them. We will see that they have lived a life truly better than what they could have done on their own. Oh, Father, help us to honor you in all that we do, in Christ's name.